You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill, and once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue group devoted to opposing the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda in American politics and culture. Our website is Americans for Truth. That's written all written out, AmericansForTruth.org. And we're here today with another interview with another culture war hero, my good friend Matt Barber, who's just a real motivator in this culture war. But before I get to Matt, I just want to say that we're in the midst of a debate on the don't ask, don't tell policy with respect to open homosexuality in the military. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is the AWOL conservative media. Where is the conservative media on this issue? It's almost impossible to fathom that 17 years ago, when Bill Clinton proposed homosexuality in the military, open homosexual serving, homosexuals presumably have always served in the military, but if they were discreet and secretive about it, who would know, right? Well, Clinton proposed that homosexuals could serve openly in the military, and the veteran culture warriors out there will remember that this caused a huge controversy, and it led to a congressional revolt and a big loss for Bill Clinton in the 1994 elections, midterm elections. Now, fast forward to today, we have Barack Obama trying to homosexualize the military. A little bit more autocratically, I would say. Bill Gates, his defense secretary, is already loosening the rules, and we'll talk about the mechanics of what Gates is doing. But the same conservative media that 17 years ago helped make this into a national controversy, many conservatives have said this is not a big deal, and they've acquiesced. And so we'll be talking about this with my good friend Matt Barber. Matt is the director of cultural affairs with Liberty Council, which is a pro-family legal group, and he's also associate dean of Liberty University Law School. Matt, welcome.
Good to be on, Pete.
Well, Matt, you know, you and me go back a while. I got to know you after you were fired by a Fortune 100 company right here in Illinois because you wrote an article in your own time online against the homosexual agenda. Tell us about that and how you got involved in the culture war.
Well, sure. Well, you know, it's amazing how God can use something like that, what is intended for evil, for good. I had written an article defending traditional marriage and pointing out the pitfalls associated with the homosexual lifestyle, the irrefutable medical and emotional and spiritual pitfalls. And the Human Rights Campaign, self-styled proponents of tolerance and diversity.
They're a homosexual activist group.
Out of Washington, D.C., contacted my employer, demanded my head on a silver platter, ostensibly, and they got it. I was fired specifically for writing the article, was told as much, and an investigation by the Illinois Department of Employment Security determined as much. But ultimately, what ended up happening is that launched me into my current career path, which is really more of a calling than a career path. And so I've ended up battling the Human Rights Campaign and the radical homosexual activist lobby pretty much full time. It had been a real thorn in their side. They intended to shut me up, and all they did, the Lord used that and fanned the flames, and so it really backfired in their face to my delight, and I think to the delight of many people who supported me during that tough time.
Well, it's like Romans says in the book of Romans, all things work together for good for those who love Him. Now, Matt, we're going to get into more of that situation. And if you want to find out which corporation, just go to our website, AmericansForTruth.org, and you can learn the name of the corporation that that let Matt go for what, basically for what he believed. You are a true victim of left-wing intolerance, Matt.
Well, yeah, you know, the tolerance door only swings one way. It's their tolerance, their version, their skewed definition of tolerance, or the highway. And of course, what the left views as tolerance is completely intolerance. The self-styled proponents of tolerance and diversity are the really the most hateful and bigoted anti-Christian bigots among us. They any notions of traditional morality relative to sexual behavior and biblical morality are you know considered taboo, and they have no tolerance whatsoever for values that every major world religion in thousands of years of history and uncompromising human biology have held to be true. This postmodern secular humanist notion of tolerance is anything but.
Right. And Matt, you know, I'm slowly getting into your bio here, but you have a very interesting resume. You were a professional boxer right here in the Chicago area when you lived in the suburbs of Chicago. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I fought for years as an amateur, represented the United States overseas, and fought in the Western Olympic Trials in 92, won a gold medal in the Police and Fire World Games in 93, but fought as a professional after law school and right there in Chicago, Bobby Hitz Promotions, and fought at the UIC Pavilion and fought out at the Ramada out by O'Hare several times. They had big events out there, and really enjoyed it.
Now, you got married. How did you get into boxing, and how did you get out of it?
Well, my dad was a boxer and was a very accomplished fighter professionally and as an amateur, and so I started had my first fight at 10 years old. And people ask me why I got out. I was undefeated. I was a regular sparring partner for Andrew Galata there in Chicago, trained out of the Windy City Gym with Sam Colonna and just a great group of people there in Chicago, the historic Windy City Gym, and was undefeated and moving up in level of competition. And so people always ask, why'd you get out?
And this was heavyweight, right, man?
Yeah, heavyweight. Uh-huh. And I'm fond of saying after years of, you know, taking cumulative punches to the head, I was concerned that if I continued to box, I'd eventually start voting liberal. So went ahead and hung up.
You could have said Democrat, man.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Well,
although we know that the Republicans are could often be just as bad. So.
Well, that's right.
Okay, so did you get injured?
Truth be told, I in my last fight, I suffered a fractured larynx. I won the fight, but I spent 3 nights in the ICU, and my wife at that point suggested, hey, you know, maybe you ought to think about falling back on this law degree thing. so we went ahead and hung up the gloves.
Now you have a law degree from Regent University, correct?
Correct. Yeah, 1999. A joint degree, master's in public policy, and my law degree.
Now, before we get off boxing, you would have had a shot at the heavyweight title. Is that an exaggeration?
I could have been a contender.
Could have been a contender. But all you got was a one-way ticket to being hated by the gay activist movement.
Yeah, took the fight from the boxing ring to the culture war.
Right, and hence your book. Matt's the author of a book called, which is a compilation of his columns. It's called The Right Hook, From the Ring to the Culture War. And, Matt, there are a lot of tough guys in politics, but you're a real tough guy in the world. But you have a heart, I think the toughness is tempered by, your Christian heart. I mean, you don't have the right to hate anybody. You're a Christian. Tell us about your Christian walk and how you got serious as a Christian growing up.
Well, sure. Well, I've shared publicly a number of times as a young man, I led a lifestyle myself of sexual sin. I did not treat God's daughters as he intended them to be treated. And I was, promiscuous and, and, uh, And I was the kind of guy that I intend to keep my daughters away from, for sure. And the Lord softened my heart and led me away from that lifestyle. And I really, I think, had been saved as a young man, boy, but had really fallen away from the Lord. And as a young adult, God really got a hold of my heart and let me, you know, I saw the error of my ways and the truth of the importance of adhering to, God's, a design for human sexuality, which is to be shared between one man and one woman within the bonds of marriage. And so I repented and have been able to use my testimony. But that ties into the fact, you know, Pete, we deal with the radical homosexual activist lobby, and these are people that are bent on removing any notions, any lines of demarcation between right and wrong. They are sexual relativists, really sexual anarchists, and basically anything goes. And so we don't fight individuals who are struggle with same-sex attraction. I pray for them regularly. I pray for the activists, even. They're really, unfortunately, led astray by powers and principalities, and that's who we battle against, these individuals that are being used as pawns by the enemy in order to really try to crush God's notions of sexual morality.
Matt, we got 40 seconds left.
Sure.
What about, the fact that you were forgiven, and that's the forgiveness that we offer others. We really don't have the room or the right to be arrogant because we ourselves are sinners.
Well, of course not. And unfortunately, many on the left and those who embrace the homosexual activism, and they view our mere standing for God's truth and voicing unapologetically his truth, they view that as arrogance and judgmentalism. But it's not, because we're no better than any of them. We're all fallen.
Right. We're talking with Matt Barber, who is an activist, a culture war activist, and he works for the Liberty Council. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. We'll be back in a minute. Well, hello, everyone. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We are a group that opposes the homosexual activist movement. There are many pro-gay organizations out there operating in all spheres of society. And we're on the other side, and it's a real privilege to be a friend, a good friend of our guest, Matt Barber. This is the first of a two-part interview. You can catch all our interviews on our website at americansfortruth.org. Just go to the Americans for Truth Hour button on the right side, and they're all downloadable. And so we'll have Matt's up after this interview is over. But Matt, you know, you're talking about basically, this is such an important aspect of our fight. You know, the left, and especially the homosexual activist movement, equates biblical belief with hatred. And I think that's one reason why it's so dangerous. You know, you can't just disagree. If you dare defend a biblical ethic, especially publicly, like both of us do, you are labeled a hater. In fact, we were labeled, Americans for Truth was labeled a hate site by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Talk about that idea that a belief system is equated with hatred.
Well, sure. Well, and that's just intellectual sloth. I mean, that is laziness, intellectual laziness on the part of our ideological opponents. They use the ad hominem attack because they can't win the argument on the merits. So in order to shut you up, they try to marginalize you. You know, you happen to believe what God says about the importance of adhering to sexual morality, and you are a hater, a homophobe, a bigot. That's just a lazy tool used to try to end the debate, a debate that they are losing, and that they will always lose, because, you know, even if popular culture embraces this notion of gay rights, so-called, this postmodern notion of gay rights, the reality is that truth is timeless, and God's truth is timeless, and they can scream until they're blue in the face that homosexual behavior is moral and good and a biological and natural alternative to to natural heterosexual behavior, but that doesn't make it true, and it never will be true. But that's the tool they use, is to try to marginalize those who, and in this day and age, have the courage, and it does take courage to stand for truth. You know, many people, even as we'll talk about, I'm sure, today, many so-called conservatives have even given in and adhere to the dictates of political correctness, and all political correctness is a barrier to truth. So,
That's where I'm just very troubled in this whole debate on the military, Matt, and I want you to comment on this. You know, to me, conservatism means that you are conserving something. We are preserving our Judeo-Christian culture. We are preserving moral standards that have stood the test of time. And yet, you see these conservatives, even George Will, the other day on this week on the Sunday show on ABC News, basically caved in, capitulated completely on the homosexuals in the military question. Now, he talked about there are evolving standards of decency. How can decency evolve?
Evolving standards of decency. That is code for moral relativism. And unfortunately, I never would have thought of George Will as a moral relativist, but apparently he is. And so many conservatives that count themselves as fiscal conservatives or national defense conservatives, they don't understand that social conservatism is inexorably linked with those three. As Ronald Reagan said, you know, these are the three legs of the stool of conservatism, the three pillars of conservatism: social, national defense, and fiscal. And they want to cast aside and malign and marginalize social conservatives. They just don't understand history. Today we have a neo-Marxist secularist in the White House. The man is a Marxist. He sat at the feet of Karl Marx, studied under the teachings of Karl Marx, Saul Alinsky. We know this to be true. George Will, who fancies himself a conservative, has said essentially that being gay is like being left-handed. They don't understand that.
Well, let's hold on that set, Matt. In the interview on ABC, George Will said that young people today don't see gays in the military as a big issue. Therefore, it is not a big issue. And he said that most young people view homosexuality like being left-handed. Now, I am just dumbfounded at the idea of George Will using an argument that we used to hear from high school sophomores who were arguing against us, say this is like being left-handed. I don't know many diseases that were spread by left-handedness. I didn't know where left-handedness ever stopped couples from having a child. What a preposterous analogy this is, and to see George Will of all people using it on national TV is just shocking.
Which he did recently, exactly. And as I pointed out, that is moral relativism, and moral relativism begets sexual relativism, and sexual relativism and moral relativism are all a big part of secular socialism, and in order to get rid of God as the guidepost and Christian and Judeo-Christian principles as the guidepost, they need to government becomes God. That's the idea of secular relativism, and Karl Marx and Russia and the Nazis and everyone else understood that you have to get rid of notions of Judeo-Christian morality in order to make government God. And that's all tied in. So George Will, unfortunately, has abandoned the principles of conservatism here and really is embracing a secular neo-Marxist idea that there is no such thing as sexual morality, and that homosexuality is just like being left-handed. Again, it is preposterous.
But this didn't come out of nowhere. The fact is, this is all a response to the rise of gay power in the culture, which has had this tremendous influence. The homosexual activist movement has very strategically insinuated itself into every sphere of power in our society, in professional organizations, where they, in 1973, they reversed you know, succeeded in getting the leading psychiatric organization to reverse the definition of normalcy and basically say that homosexuality was no longer a mental disorder. In the field of journalism, in the field of academia, of course, out of which Obama comes, they have been so powerful. And basically, it seems to me, Matt, they have worn down the culture, including conservatives.
Well, sure, they've done a masterful job, in the propaganda war here, and have done, co-opted the language of the genuine civil rights movement, and have erroneously and really despicably drawn a comparison that many people who want to be, you know, a part of something they perceive as bigger than themselves, have bought into this notion that embracing and celebrating sexual perversion is the next to civil rights movement, is akin to the very noble civil rights movement, and most African Americans are, you know, extremely offended and disgusted by this, and well, they should be, but the pop culture has to a large degree embraced this idea. Really, people who aren't willing to think through this, just kind of in a knee-jerk reaction, buy into this. And again, that's just a political correctness, run amok in our culture. And to a large degree, it has, it's infiltrated our entertainment, all of the elitist institutions, academia, the judiciary, and so forth. And so, to a large degree, the homosexual activist lobby is having tremendous success.
Now, Matt, you were in the Army, I believe the Army National Guard, and you've written quite compellingly about this push of open homosexuality in the military. Tell me and our listeners why that concerns you so much.
Well, I wrote an article a while back titled "Don't Ask, Don't Bleed," pointing out just how preposterous it is that they would even be talking about homosexualizing the military when the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration won't even allow a man who has ever had sex with another man or a woman who has had sex with a man, a bisexual man or however you want to define it, to give blood, and that's for good reason. And the CDC points out, for instance, that so gay men have an increased risk of HIV by 800 times higher than first-time blood donors, 8,000 times higher than repeat blood donors. They're 5 to 6 more times likely to have hepatitis. They're 64% of all syphilis cases involve gay men, despite the fact that they only make up 1 to 2% of the population. That's epidemic proportion. Yet we're talking about in an area on the battlefield where there's a necessity for frequently for battlefield transfusions, where your lifeline is the guy standing next to you having potentially infected blood, right there, because an open homosexual is serving with an extremely increased risk of having tainted blood. That our troops are now put in harm's way, again, in the interest of political correctness, and it's unconscionable.
And ironically, as you're discussing this, liberals in Congress are pushing the FDA to end its ban on blood donations from men practicing homosexuality.
Well, of course they are. They see the logical inconsistency there. So rather than doing what is logical and maintaining the ban, and which is the FDA continues to point out is scientifically irrefutable, is scientifically sound that it needs to be remain in place, they want to lift the ban, place troops at risk, place Americans at risk, just in the interest of political correctness. Again, that's political. And again, political correctness is a barrier to truth and common sense. It really just boggles the mind. But, Scripture, Pete, says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." We are living in a time where evil is called good and good is called evil. And it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't make sense. It runs completely counter to common sense. Yet they continue to push this radical, dangerous agenda.
Yes, we're talking with Matt Barber. We'll be back in a minute with the American for Truth Hour.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Well, hello, everybody. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. We're talking with Matt Barber, who is a good friend of mine. I've gotten to know, and I think he's an amazing individual with a lot of potential for doing good in our society. And, you know, he's taken a path which is not a popular path sometimes, but very effectively writing on issues non-defensively, I would say, Matt, and say a brief word about that. You know, there's so much apologetics or overly apologetic advocacy in our culture for the truth, and yet I don't see the homosexual activists apologizing for their, pushing of radical concepts like so-called gay marriage and homosexuals in the military, et cetera.
Well, you know, spreading lies and sugarcoating truth is not compassionate. That's the least compassionate thing I can imagine, especially involving a lifestyle where very real medical risks, even potentially death, can occur. We need to speak truth in love, but we need to speak truth boldly and unapologetically. And, you know, the scripture also tells us that those who adhere to God's truth, those who speak God's truth, those who are willing to spread the gospel of Christ, and they are going to be targeted. We are going to be hated because they first hated Christ. Much of homosexual behavior is and narcissistic, and it's much of it is rooted in rebellion against God. Take, for instance, the transgender lifestyle, gender confusion, gender identity disorder. This is the ultimate act of rebellion against God. That's saying, shaking your fist at God and saying, "You made me a man, but you know what? I know better, God. I'm actually a woman."
Matt, just saying that makes you a transphobe, which is the latest new word created by the homosexual lobby. If you're a transphobe, that means ostensibly that you fear the gender confused. But talk about that.
Well, no,
homophobia, transphobia, these artificial words meant to intimidate people.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Another ad hominem attack, made to sound fancy and official. But we don't hate these people. We don't fear them. We pity them. We pray for them, and we pray that their gender identity, so-called, would become aligned, and through the power of Christ, this can happen, and it happens all the time, can align with their actual gender reality. But back to this idea of speaking truth. You know, we're going to be maligned. They're going to be try to marginalize us. I get, hate mail of people saying they hope my children die of AIDS. I've received that before. People say, "I hope you die of cancer." You've had death threats, Pete. I've had death threats.
Such a loving and tolerant community that's attacking us.
It doesn't affect me in the least bit. I know it doesn't affect you either. I consider it an honor to have the world and to have those who embrace a lifestyle that is counter to God's design for human sexuality and God's truth. For them to attack me, I consider it an honor.
Now, Matt, you had a family member who was involved with homosexuality, and it caused you to see some of these the health effects we're talking about. Talk about that.
Well, again, this goes to the importance of speaking truth in love and doing it directly and unapologetically. I have a very dear family member who, as a young man, was an awkward kid, socially awkward, liked the girls, went after the girls, tried to date girls, but he was an awkward kid, a good-looking kid. But he found a group of people that were happy to just take him in and as he is and love him as long as he gave a little something back. back, if you know what I mean. He was seduced as a teenager by a 33-year-old man who had left his wife and kids to embrace the homosexual lifestyle. He was told by adults around him, well, this is who you are, accept it. You know, how courageous of you to finally accept who you are. You're a gay man. And, you know, we know how it turned out, because it's how it so often turns out. People, you know, he turned away from truth. The people around him, and I regret that I didn't more directly share truth with God's truth with him. He's dying of AIDS now as a young man. He has a life living with HIV/AIDS.
How old is he?
Which could eventually kill him. He's now in his early 30s. Late 20s, early 30s, and this lifestyle, as it has done to so many others, it has destroyed his health, destroyed him emotionally, and it's just heartbreaking. So, I will not let that happen again. I'm going to speak truth unapologetically and boldly, and hopefully, you know, if one person hears that truth and finds freedom from the homosexual lifestyle and is perhaps saved from this life of disease and emotional and spiritual destruction, then if just one person reaches that point, then I will consider that my work was worth it all.
Yeah, and Matt, you know, the important thing is, even if there were no health risks, and we know there are many health risks that are very obvious to all but the self-acknowledged proponents of this lifestyle, we would still oppose it, because God opposes homosexuality, and it even says in 1 Corinthians, the New Testament, you know, that it's a pathway to eternal separation from God. And if we care about human beings, we care about their eternal destiny.
Well, God calls homosexual sin an abomination, detestable. The Apostle Paul listed among other sins and sexual sins wherein those who engage in that sin, quote, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, but Scripture also says the wages of sin is death. And, you know, and I'll be accused of saying, oh, you're saying they deserve what they get. Of course, that's not what I'm saying. But unnatural behaviors beget natural consequences. And engaging in unnatural male-on-male sodomy, for instance, very naturally results in death. Spiritual death, physical death, emotional death, separation from God, as you point out, and it's heartbreaking to see it happen. And what's even more heartbreaking is to see this multi-million dollar powerful homosexual activist lobby pushing this lifestyle. They don't care about the people they purport to fight on behalf of. In fact, they are perpetuating a lie that actually destroys these individuals. And the enemy, Satan, loves to see people destroyed, loves to see people separated from God. So Pete, I'm so proud of you and others, the few people out there that have the courage in the face of political correctness and all of the attacks to continue to speak truth fearlessly.
Now, Matt, one of the things we've talked about many times is that the agenda, the lifestyle itself, is almost it's hard to convey, because people can't believe sometimes the depravity. You talked about your family member there, your relative who, a 33-year-old man seduces a teenage boy, and that's appalling to me, and yet those type of images are not conveyed normally on TV. That's not the image of homosexuality that is celebrated by the media. Tell us about, you had another circumstance when you were in the Army National Guard of a case, again, where we see homosexuality being lived out, not the glamorized version of homosexuality. You know, the nice conservative, now there's a show called, I think, Modern Family, in which there's two gay guys and their infant child, their toddler child. I mean, that's not the image. Tell us about this experience you had in the Army.
Well, sure, and this goes directly to this idea of repealing the ban on open homosexuality, so open homosexual behavior in the ranks of the armed services. When I was in basic training, and I've encouraged people to investigate this, look it up. I've seen some bloggers say, "Oh, you're making this up." 1988, summer of 1988, Fort Bliss, Texas. Basic training. We had a young man in our barracks in our platoon that was walking around on fire guard at night. That's where you keep watch over those who are sleeping and in the barracks. You run fire guard in case a fire occurs or you're attacked, you know, in a time of war. Well, this young man was accused by a number of people of going around at night and inappropriately fondling other young men in the barracks. An investigation ensued. There were complaints that he was making passes at people, and an investigation ensued about 2 weeks. It disrupted unit cohesion, troop morale. People were called in when we were supposed to be, you know, learning how to be good soldiers. People are called in to give their statement on being sexually harassed and really assaulted in their sleep. And just, you know, if that happened while I was serving, imagine if the ban is lifted and people are, you know, young soldiers are put in a position where they have to share showering facilities and barracks and sleep alongside men who may well be sexually attracted to them. How much more will we see this type of sexual assault and sexual harassment occur? Well, we know how much more. Peter Sprigg, our good friend with the Family Research Council, has released a study that shows that about a 3-to-1 margin, those engaged in the homosexual lifestyle are likely to engage in sexual assault or sexual harassment, and it only stands to reason since they are immersed among those who are they are sexually attracted to in the showers and in the barracks and in the sleeping facilities and so forth. So it's common sense, and that's why the vast majority of those serving in the military and the commanders in both the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines are all opposed to the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Admiral Mullen is the only one of the big hitters who is for the repeal.
Well, Matt, I guess we would talk if there's going to be a open homosexuals in the military, I guess they'd have to have their own barracks. What a nightmare that would be. Can you imagine the activity going on in the gay barracks?
Well, of course. And then you have the GLBT. The T is for transgender. You know, that's all. There are going to be men running around in dresses pretending to be women serving in the armed services. Boy, wouldn't that, you know, maybe our enemies will laugh themselves to death as they crest the hill in battle.
Well, you know, we're talking with Matt Barber, author of his book is The Right Hook, From the Ring to the Culture War. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. We're listening. We're talking with Matt Barber, who's a good friend. Matt is the author of The Right Hook, From the Ring to the Culture War. He's a former professional boxer, and he is now a leading activist in the culture war. And he's one of the few people who is just brave and outspoken in resisting the homosexual activist movement. Before we get to our last segment here with Matt, and we have another interview next week, I want to say that make a pitch for Americans for Truth. We need donations. If you'd like to support our work, go to AmericansForTruth.org, make a tax-deductible donation, or better yet, sign up as a monthly giver, as a Truth Team giver. Matt, we've got 8 minutes left here. Talk about this so-called review by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, whereby Gates is saying the question is not – he wants to get the input from the troops, but the question is not whether we're going to change and allow open homosexuals to serve, but how. How is that actually in a review when we're not actually asking whether it should be done, but just how we're going to do it?
Well, yeah, this is it's a ruse, and of course, Lieberman and Pelosi and everyone else, they're trying to ram it through even in advance of this false review, this rubber stamping of Obama's call to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. To essentially what they're doing is our good friend Gary Glenn, with American Family Association of Michigan, calls it, they're gaying down the military. They're emasculating the military. They're feminizing the military. And, you know, the greatest military with the greatest history on earth, going the way of, you know, the Swedish military, you know, well, boy, they're a great role model to follow here. And boy, you know, the Army is there, as Rush Limbaugh says, to break things and kill people. And here we have the military being used as a petri dish for radical San Francisco style social experimentation. That's the last place where we need to be injecting this postmodern political correctness that will clearly disrupt troop morale, unit cohesion. It's already disrupting troop morale with regard to the commanders in the military, in fighting with them.
Admiral Mullen is on his own. He's the big proponent of this. Of course, he's the son of a Hollywood flack. You know, he has a more liberal background in his personal life, and so he's promoting the Obama agenda. But the most important thing is, Matt, we are hearing stories now of people, Christians and those of a traditional mindset, who are saying, "I will no longer recommend the military to my sons and daughters."
Well, no. In fact, a recent Military Times poll showed that somewhere between 10-14% of current enlisted have said that they will either get out or not re-enlist. So in order to placate 1% of the population, 1-3% of the population, and in order to appease and capitulate to the demands of a extremely obnoxious radical homosexual activist lobby, they are willing. Obama is willing to further his politically correct agenda, is willing to allow 10-14% of the active military to get out. And what happens to chaplains? Suddenly they can no longer teach what scripture says. The Bible will actually be censored. Well, all the good chaplains are going to get out. Those who embrace a heretical postmodern version of Christianity that embraces sexual perversion and sexual immorality will, you know, fill the vacuum.
The Episcopals will be waiting with their gay bishops and their gay priests.
Oh, sure, sure. So it's the gang down of the military. It's the homosexualization of the United States Armed Services. And in a time of war like this, tensions mounting in Korea, tensions mounting in the Mid East with Israel, with two active engagements in Iraq and Afghanistan, it is unconscionable and is grossly irresponsible of this peacenik tambourine playing president to engage in this social experimentation during a time of war or any time. But he cares more about political correctness and adhering to the demands of the radical homosexual activist lobby than he does about national security. Shame on him and shame on those who would essentially undermine and destroy the best military on earth in order to further the celebration of perversion.
And shame on the so-called conservatives who will not fight to the death to keep this policy as it is. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Now, where's Fox News on this? You know,
where's George Sean Will? Hannity? Where's Laura Ingraham? Where
yeah,
is
George Will, as we talked about earlier?
I mean, even Human Events, the conservative standard has gone soft on the issue of homosexuality. It's just appalling. And without that national call of conservatives, just like we had on immigration. Remember that? I mean, this was the issue that brought Bill Clinton's presidency, really restricted his power in 1994. How can it be now that all of a sudden this is sort of a no-brainer? We just open up the military to homosexuals.
Pete, the only thing that has changed, the necessity for preventing open homosexual behavior in the armed services hasn't changed. The only thing that has changed is the political climate. The damage that this will cause to our armed services, to troop morale, to unit cohesion, that has not changed. The only thing that has changed is that those who support gang down the military are in positions of power to get it done, and those who in the past have been opposed to it need to do a gut check. They've lost the initiative and apparently the courage to stand against this because it seems like they've made it out to be a foregone conclusion. Well, it's not a foregone conclusion. There's still, I think, the time to educate the public, educate people as to the dangers of you know, continuing on this trajectory. But if this happens, Sean, it's, you know, I think it's, it could be the beginning of the end for, you know, America, not just don't ask, don't tell, but this whole climate of moral relativism and secular socialism that we're seeing in the halls of Congress and throughout our government.
Yeah, the fact is, Matt, that, you know, whereas many Americans might be proud of our tolerance of homosexuality, it's nothing to be proud of. We're sitting here. Obama has just issued another Gay Pride proclamation for so-called Gay Pride Month in June. The reality is, and we've got a couple minutes left here, homosexuality is nothing to be proud of.
Well, no, it's not. And the behavior, you know, one need, you know, Pete, you and I would prefer not even to, you know, imagine the mechanics associated with homosexual behavior, much less fight to prevent its wholesale promotion, you know, from preschool on, you know, throughout, on up and throughout our entire culture here.
An important point on that, Matt, is that especially with the law proposed by Representative Patrick Murphy on the military, it would impose a non-discrimination code on the military whereby soldiers would basically have to go to diversity lectures,
the same type
that happened in the corporate world where you were, these pro-gay diversity lectures.
Boot camp becomes re-education camp, trust me. people have to unlearn their natural inclination, which is to recoil at the thought of biologically and morally incorrect homosexuality. Behavior, you have to unlearn that natural tendency to recoil at the thought of such perversion of our natural sexual human sexual function. That they have to be re-educated on that, and that's what we are going to see. And those who and of course
we'll have to end it there, Matt. We'll just pick up for the next interview. We've only got a few seconds left. We're talking to Matt Barber of Liberty Council. Their website is lc.org. Ours is AmericansForTruth.org. We have part two coming up next week with Matt Barber. Go to Americans for Truth's website, AmericansForTruth.org. Get involved. Stand for truth and honor in our military. And we'll talk to you next week, AmericansForTruth.org.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.